Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
All kinds of them.
Here's John Williams.
Thank you. It's 209. Hey, listen, lots of calls and texts in the last half hour. Our guest was in the studio talking about his plan to, Lord have mercy, fly pigs over the Illinois River, the Chicago River, in front of the Donald Trump Tower sign. I know a lot of people will really be offended by that, and I think some people will think that's the most perfect and wonderful thing. Off the air, I said to him, I can just imagine the crowd and the problems that this is going to create. And he said, yeah, that's one concern the city has. The city is, if not endorsing it, at least it sounds like the city is of a mind to let it happen for one day. But can you imagine if you had a barge with four giant balloons, each the size of, as they say, a London bus, floating above TRUMP on that tower? If that was there for one day in September, can you imagine the mass of humanity that would gather on the bridges, that would be floating in the river to try and get up close to it, that would be lining the, I guess, south bank of the river, or for that matter, the north? But I mean, it would just be this fantastically large, dense crowd. A parade for the Blackhawks or the Cubs, you can stretch out, you know, from Wrigley Field to here, from Sox Park to here. You can stretch it out through Grant Park. But this is a rather confined space. So that's a concern for the city. Noam Levy is on a line. Stay tuned. Noam Levy is on a line. LA Times national healthcare policy reporter. He's joined us before. We asked him to help us out again today on WGN Radio. Hi, Noam. It's John Williams. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You have any vacation time? Do you want to come see the flying pigs?
Sounds exciting.
When pigs fly. Listen, Noam, yesterday and the day before, ever since the Republican House passed this version of a health care bill, there have been lists that have been coming out, alphabetized some of them, and very long, about the conditions that if they pre-exist for you will either mean you don't get insurance or your insurance will be more expensive. And I mean, the list starts with acne. I'm wondering, can you put this in some perspective for us? Are we overreacting here? They're not going to deny you or charge you more insurance if you had pimples, right?
Well, not immediately.
That's not reassuring.
Well, I think the debate over this issue is real, and people, I think, should be concerned about the direction of the debate, although, as I said, I don't think anybody's going to lose coverage tomorrow. So let's back up for a second. John, you and I have talked about healthcare a lot over the years. As you know, it's complicated. I'll try to make it as straightforward as possible. But remember, before Obamacare, insurance companies routinely either denied coverage to people with pre-existing medical conditions or charged people more if they had conditions, in some cases as simple and seemingly even silly as acne, but also more serious, of course, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, et cetera. It was hard for folks who had those conditions to get health insurance. Obamacare changed all that. In 2014, new rules went in place that prohibited insurers from turning people down and, as importantly, prohibited insurers from charging people more if they had any pre-existing medical condition. So what would the House bill do that would change all that? Basically, the House legislation would give states, individual states, the ability to essentially get a waiver from some of these rules. So if Illinois, for example, or Wisconsin, which actually would be more relevant in this case, if Wisconsin decided that they wanted to get a waiver from these rules that require insurance companies not to charge people more if they're sick, they could get that waiver. And presumably then insurance companies in Wisconsin or Illinois would go ahead and decide, hey, if you have a history of cancer, we are going to charge you $5,000 or $10,000 more for your health insurance plan. So the issue is real here. Of course, there's a long way to go before what the House passed last week becomes law, so things may and probably will change. But as I said, the issue's real here. The debate is real. These are the kinds of things that are on the table.
Well, suppose I agree with the notion that if I have a history of arthritis and that becomes expensive down the road, an insurance company should have the right to charge more because they're almost certainly going to have to pay more. How much more then will my premiums go up? It sounds like you pulled $5,000 to $10,000 out of a hat. Would we see those sorts
really
of increases?
We don't know how much more insurers would charge. Of course, people who agree with this philosophy would point to auto insurance, I suppose, and say, you know, John, if you've had three car accidents in the last 2 years and I have only had one, you know, you should pay more for your auto insurance. So we kind of come back to a big philosophical question, of course, which is, do we want to have a health insurance system that penalizes people who have poor health, or do we believe that everybody should have access to health coverage no matter their medical history? I mean, that's a sort of high level kind of question of values, and you know, people disagree about that.
Well, I think the answer is that I think we've decided as a country that we want everybody to have equal access to health care. I guess the question, you're right, is what is equal access, right? Should some people have to pay a little bit more? But I've seen tweets and I've heard stories from people saying $17,000, $6,000. I mean, really gigantic numbers for premiums, premium add-ons, additional premiums running to the thousands of dollars because of this House bill. Granted, it's not law, but I wonder if, does that sound plausible to you that they would go up that much?
You got to understand that before Obamacare came around, the way that health insurance companies made money selling health insurance to people on the individual market, people who didn't get it through an employer, was by excluding people who had pre-existing medical conditions.
They wouldn't write you a policy. Right. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there were whole medical underwriting departments at, you know, health insurance plans around the country, because the number one job, if you were writing individual market health insurance plans before 2014, was how do you make sure that you don't have any sick people on your rolls, because sick people are expensive.
Yeah.
So it's not unrealistic, in my view, at least, to think that if health insurers were once again able to figure out ways to exclude people who are costly, that a health insurer wouldn't do that. You'd be silly not to if you ran a health insurance plan.
Well, I've been saying forever that Democrats aren't stupid and Republicans aren't bad. So why in the world, if it is as bad as Democrats and a lot of the media are saying, did the Republicans pass it? You know, the very fact that they did gives me pause, as if to say, if they were only interested in their careers, they wouldn't pass something as bad as what I'm reading. What's your take on that, Noam?
Well, I don't want to call one party dumb or
Well, but do you understand what I said? I don't think Democrats are stupid, and I don't think Republicans are bad. I think it can't be as bad as I'm reading it.
Well, I'll just tell you one thing, and I do think that this is instructive. You know, legislation gets written a lot of different ways in Washington, and a lot of people weigh in on it. There are good bills, there are bad bills, a lot of bills that are in between. One thing that I do think is notable about the House health care bill, and that I think folks actually should pay attention to, is the fact that notwithstanding the arguments that were made in favor of this bill, not a single major group representing doctors, representing nurses, representing patients with cancer and diabetes, heart disease, all these groups that represent patients. Not
senior
a single
citizens,
group
yeah.
That speaks basically for patients or physicians thought this was a good bill. Draw your own conclusions from that.
The Kaiser Family Foundation that reports on health care, like you do, estimates 52 million adults under 65 have pre-existing health issues. Everybody over 65 has got a pre-existing health issue. That's how they got to be 66. everybody under 65, 52 million of us also have pre-existing health conditions. And then the list includes acne, anxiety, asthma, bipolar disease, depression, menstrual irregularities, sex reassignment, sleep apnea, transsexualism. I had a little of that, but it's passed now. What happens to pregnancy? Is a C-section or just a previous pregnancy going to be considered, Noam, in this bill, a pre-existing condition?
Could be. One caution I would put to your listeners, and you alluded to this in the lead-in, is that yes, there are. Let's take the Kaiser analysis for the sake of argument. 50 some odd million people under age 65 who have a pre-existing medical condition. That doesn't mean that 52 million Americans are suddenly going to find that their health insurance premiums go up because they have acne or because they had a C-section. So most of us get our health insurance through our employer, and most employers do not, the vast majority of employers do not charge their sick employees more than their employees without pre-existing medical conditions. So if you remain employed and you continue to get your health insurance through an employer, or for that matter, if you get it through a government program like Medicaid, you would not be subject to medical underwriting under the House bill, most likely. But of course, if you lose your job, you have to go out there and get a health plan on your own. It's under that circumstance
right.
that you might be exposed to what we've been talking about.
Well, that's not a small caveat, is it?
No.
That's
no,
huge.
No.
I mean, what we're saying is the vast majority of Americans, this will not apply to them, right?
It won't apply to their immediate circumstance. But remember, I mean, one of the things that the Affordable Care Act tried to do was to put a baseline protection so that if people did lose their jobs, and of course, in the last recession, which is when the Affordable Care Act was written, we saw millions of Americans losing their jobs and at the same time losing access to yeah. basic health care protection.
Yeah, that's so true. By the way, there is one question when this comes up, far and away outpaces all the other questions. What would you guess it is from listeners? I'm looking at my call screen right now. It's very busy. What do you think the most common question is we get when this comes up?
I don't know.
Or comment. I have to take a commercial break. Can you come back and just answer this one most common question in a second?
Okay, sure.
Stand by. Noam Levy, who writes about health care for the LA Times. You read him in the Chicago Tribune as well. My number is 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Noam Levy's on the phone line. He writes about health care issues. You read him in the Chicago Sun-Times. You read him in the Los Angeles Times. You read him online as well. Noam, I'll put the caller on who has maybe the most commonly made comment about this health care bill. You ready?
Okay.
All right. This is going to be Marvin. Marvin, you're up. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, thank you. What's upsetting to me, if I have the facts correct, is that Congress has a Cadillac health plan that covers them and their family, and there's no premiums for them, and it's for life. And while they stick the general public with real problems, they walk away scot-free.
Okay, let's see if that's true. We all want what they have, or we want them to have what we're going to get. Noam, talk about that.
Well, it's gotten a little more complicated because Congress did have to abide by participate in the Obamacare marketplace. But one of the most controversial things that the House Republicans did initially when they wrote their replacement bill was exempt themselves from some of these weakened protections that they were prepared to.
No, they did not.
On everybody else.
Do not say that. They did not do that, Noam.
They did, and then at the last minute, when they were called out for this, they passed a little patch to ensure that that was not the case.
So they are, in fact, going to have to abide by the terms of this new Affordable Care Act, huh?
Their American Health Care Act, they call it. Yep. Yep.
And do they have a Cadillac plan that they get for life that they don't have to pay for? Because that's not what we're getting.
They had very good health insurance through like every employer did, though they had to participate ultimately in a marketplace like folks who don't have employer coverage. They got coverage on the D.C. Health Benefit Exchange like folks in D.C. who don't have worker coverage, but they had good health care options. But
you understand what this is speaking to. They want them to not be able to sneak off with a better plan than everybody else's.
Yeah.
And does this satisfy that? Or should we rest assured that they're not getting away with something here regarding that?
I think it's too early to know how that's going to shake out. Honestly,
okay.
I really do.
All right. Just a couple more real quick questions for you. A lot of people are saying what Mary is saying. Hey, Mary, jump in there. You're on the air.
Yeah. Thank you for my call. And this is great discussion. One thing that was commented on, and I don't think it's a great analogy, is saying people with car insurance can pay a higher premium because they've had lots of accidents, which that is true, and we should. Those people should pay a little higher premium when you're having accidents. But some illnesses, you don't have control over them. Like myself, I have MS. You know, if I had to pay a higher premium because of that, I don't have control over it. It's not because I have a bad record. I don't have, you know, I'm eating bad.
You didn't do anything to deserve this, yeah.
It is what it is, and some people with cancers and things like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. Talk about that, Noam.
Well, Mary makes, I think, a very good point about a critical difference between auto insurance and health insurance. And clearly there are some medical conditions that are impacted by people's behavior, lung cancer for a lifelong smoker, for example. But there are many, many illnesses like MS, for example, and cancers or mental health issues that have nothing whatsoever to do with anything, any personal choice that people made. And, you know, as a society, I think we have to decide whether or not we're going to penalize people for their medical conditions.
I'm going to let you go, particularly since all of this might be moot. The Senate isn't going to pass a version like this anyway. They'll have their own bill. Am I right about that, Noam?
Well, they will have their own version. I think it remains to be seen how closely it resembles what the House did.
Yeah.
But stay tuned.
All right. I'm going to call you again. Thank you, Noam.
John, good to be with you. Thanks.
You can follow Noam Levy at Noam Levy, N-O-A-M. Looks like Noam, N-O-A-M, Levy, L-E-V-E-Y, two E's in Levy, Noam Levy. You can follow him on Twitter. And also check out the Obamacare 101 feature on the L.A. Times website. We visit with Mary Wisniewski. She writes about transportation in Chicago. Did you see how many people got tickets for texting while driving last year?
It's in my headlines here, buddy boy.
It is amazing. It's amazing. Coming up.